24 minutes past 3 o'clock on a Tuesday, and we're chatting with Chapman, the plumbing boss. Barry Chapman is in the house. Welcome back. Nice to see you again.
Thank you.
And today we're talking green plumbing practices, which to some might sound colourful, and I'm sure that they are, but let's get straight into it. Eco-friendly plumbing. This is a new concept, or relatively new, is it?
Yeah, so, I mean, plumbing in the past has kind of just been this, water in and water out, and as long as it works, happy days. Folks weren't really bothered about how much energy it used to do what needs to be done. So the biggest green side of things that we've gone is with water heating. And then the installation of pipe insulation on your hot water lines. It's actually unbelievable how much energy you lose by having exposed hot water pipes in your ceiling or wherever they're running. So there's been a lot of suppliers in the area that are supplying really good pipe that's coming with insulation on it. So it makes it, from an installation perspective, very easy for the contractor to do the installation.
So it's not a question of wrapping, lagging around a pipe, but rather replacing the pipe.
No, you can certainly wrap the pipe. So in South Africa, South African national standards require an R1 rated lagging. And if you have an existing house, majority of them have got copper in them. That R1 rated lagging is about 200 rand for a 2 meter length. And it's 75 mils in diameter. So it's quite large. With the smaller pipes, I mean the composite pipes that are on the market now, that the lagging comes already on it with a roll. So because it's not copper, it's a composite pipe, it already has a thermal insulation portion to it, which then the lagging or the insulation that's put on that pipe is far smaller. So the pipe and the insulation gives you that equivalent of a R1 rated lagging, which is a requirement from the South African national standards.
Okay, so if I hear you correctly, if you have an older house or property that may be losing a lot of efficiency, a lot of heat due to exposed pipes, the length that it's got to run before it reaches the desired temperature, hot water in particular, can you retrofit or can you replace those copper pipes? Is it economical or even viable to do?
Well, it all depends where you are, because a lot of the coastal houses here, if you're right down on the beach, a lot of the copper pipe pits and scales, and then it's actually worthwhile to replace the pipe. But there's other houses that have got very closed off sealed roofs where the pipe's existing and you just literally put pipe insulation on in place.
And it makes a difference.
Makes a massive difference.
To your electricity bill and to your water saving.
Water saving, so heat loss is one of the major things when you're running to a point, your geyser's in the middle of the house, your bathroom's on the other end, you open the tap, you're waiting now 30, 40, 50, a minute for the water to come to you. Through that whole time period, it's now heating up the pipe as it's going, and now you've got heat loss through that pipe as well. Whereas if it's insulated, it heats up the pipe, but then you don't lose heat loss through it because the insulation is there. So you use far less hot water because the hot water is now maintaining its temperature at its terminal point. And it then the geyser needs to heat up less.
Yeah, it makes sense. But from a cost perspective, are we yet at the point of when you do the sums that it makes good financial sense? Or is it more at this point in time good eco sense?
So, the eco side definitely, from an energy expense perspective.
Sure.
If you want to get involved in something and do something right now, I would say you would get into your geyser and you would insulate the pipes leaving your geyser with a minimum of 2 meters worth of pipe insulation around the geyser.
And that'll save you money.
It will definitely, because you've got the terminal points, your safety valve discharge, your hot water discharge to the house and your cold water inlet all those points, when the geyser is heated up and now sitting in a stagnant point, those metal points are open to the atmosphere.
So they would be shedding heat.
They are shedding
and
heat.
And now you're going to be trapping the heat. That makes sense. And is it a job that a plumber can do if you give them a shout, give you a quote? It will prove to be not too expensive, I would imagine.
No, I think that particular is probably in the region of about $1,800 to 2,000 rand for that kind of job.
Okay, and you're going to save that within definitely the course of a year, I would imagine.
Oh, 100%.
So that's a good point. Firstly, you're going to be doing good stuff for the planet, but you're going to be saving money. This is good. We like to help you to save money on the show. We're talking Green 101. Energy efficient geysers, that's a thing, hey?
Yes, so nothing beats a good old traditional element for heating up water, but the negative side of it is it requires a very large amount of electricity to make it happen. And as we all know in this country, we don't have a very large amount of electricity lying around anymore. So alternative heating sources, you've got heat pumps, you've got solar thermal. Solar thermal is where you're physically circulating the water from the geyser onto a panel on the roof, back down to the geyser. You've got solar PV heating systems that use the solar electricity photovoltaic panels to a micro inverter that then heats the water.
And is that just for the geyser? So you don't install solar to your whole house. You can have a little micro solar unit that is simply taking sunlight through a photovoltaic cell to a little tiny inverter that's just powering your geyser.
100%.
And that is going to save you a bomb.
Yeah.
But what is it going to cost you?
So depending on the installation and the size of your geyser, anything between 25 and 30,000 rand for that particular installation.
Okay, so that sounds like a lot of money, but let's work it out. What's it going to save you roughly per year?
So your household's electricity consumption, probably makeup of it is about 40% of it is your geyser.
Really?
Or your water heating, should I say, if you have a standard electric water heater. So it'd probably take you five years to
pay back.
To pay back.
Okay. And thereafter, obviously, it's going to hopefully last longer than 5 years.
Well,
so you should be in the green.
100%. That's the nice thing about the PV or the solar panel side of it, is that your solar panel and your solar electrical components that go into the installation have got between a 10 and 15 year guarantee. Whereas anything on the solar thermal side with the circulation of the water is 2 to 5 years.
Okay.
And solar thermal doesn't have a cutoff switch. So when solar thermal gets hot, 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 it starts boiling. Whereas the solar PV system works with the standard elements and thermostats in your geyser.
The solar thermal might work for a bush application out in the sticks where your choice is either a donkey, where you're lighting a wood fire under a big barrel of water, which is obviously a little bit labor intensive and primitive, or one of these put up a panel or just literally cook the water with the sun. Problem is you could burn yourself when you get into the shower. But, you know, you're in the bush, so you take your chances. But in a domestic arrangement, it doesn't sound like a guy.
Yeah,
I mean, so in a residential environment.
For me, solar thermal, and it's my own personal opinion, others may have their own. My opinion with solar thermal is that the system works so hard with the fluctuating temperatures so high and so low that your component maintenance on that system ends up being quite a lot. So your payback period may seem short on paper, but because your maintenance is more, your payback period is not actually what it is.
Sounds like we're not going to look at that as a solution necessarily. However, moving along here, very alarming news from Eteguini, for those that live a little bit south of us, is that wildcat strike is out of control in terms of what's happening with the water supply. And it really is alarming. Apparently, it's almost on remote control at the moment. The guys have been smashing meters and everything else that they can possibly attack, they've attacked. And people have been dragged out of offices. It's a serious situation. But the bottom line is they're saying we are expecting now water shortages and fairly substantial water shortages in the next foreseeable future. Recently, you know, I mean, this came out yesterday or the day before, a general notice. We've been talking about it for a while. We know that we're in a water-challenged environment. This kind of action just makes it even more infuriating and exacerbating the situation. It makes more and more sense now to take care of your own supply. We are blessed in the sense that we live at the coast, and even if we're in an El Nino phenomenon where it's not raining inland, we get rain off the sea. It's a pretty regular thing. So it comes off your roof. It's free, man. It makes sense that you gather that water and use it, and you can
invest in your water security.
Absolutely. What a great flipping idea. You guys can do that.
Yes, we do that. And I mean, the prices range depending on the application and what tanks you use and pumps and etc. So I mean, you can go with a very, very basic setup for 10,000 rand with a pump and a tank, etc. Or you can go something that's extremely elaborate depending on what you want to do with it and how much water you want to store.
Yeah, and if you've got a bond, you can take a sort of access bond and you won't even feel it. It'll be a couple of rand additional on your payments every month. Mm. But wow, are you bulletproofing yourself against the possibility of having no water? No,
yeah, I mean, from our conversation last year, I was quite pinned on it, and it's quite an emotional aspect for me because I think a lot of people in the world take water for granted. And it literally is the thing that keeps us moving around. If we don't have water, there is no life.
And we keep sort of repeating and repeating. It's coming, folks. We're going to be in a water deficit shortly. The whole country is talking about the fact that the municipal water supplies are so compromised, it's going to take years to, if ever, get them back to a position where we're not losing more water through leaks and stealing and all sorts of nonsense. And the bottom line is there are more people using more water, and it's a finite resource ultimately. Only so much that the heavens produce annually, and we are demanding more and more of that. It makes sense not to waste it, to conserve it, to gather it if you can. Take and with the technology that our friend the plumbing boss can bring to your advantage, there's no reason not to. It's going to save you money, it's going to give you the convenience of continuous supply, and it's going to bulletproof you from the what-if scenario, which is coming.
100%.
And then just one final thing, reading and understanding your water meter. That is a mystery to almost everyone on the planet, but you reckon it's doable?
I have no idea how to read a water meter.
So I don't think the water meter readers do either. So it's a bit of a guessing game, is it?
No. So there's two different kinds of water meters that are mainly on the market. So you've got the one with all the little dials on it that spin around as the water goes, and it's got a little black cog on it with white lines on it. And that one's relatively easy to read because it actually tells you in decibels what each one represents. But ultimately, on any water meter, the white numbers are your kiloliters. The red numbers are liters, tens of liters, hundreds of liters. And then, so 100 mils is the dial on the far right that clicks over very fast. That's 100 mils, liters, tens of liters, hundreds of liters. And then it flicks over to the first 1,000, which is the first white number, which is your kiloliters.
Okay.
So when water meters are red, the red numbers are ignored. They only read the white numbers. So, and that is something that does happen quite often, is the red numbers are red instead of the white numbers. And then you end up with, all of a sudden, your bills jump by 10,000 rand, but it was read incorrectly. So it's always good to physically, when you get your utility bill, have a look at it.
And go and
have a look at your meter. Is it correct?
Okay.
And
do most people know where their meters are? Are they still on the pavement on the freestanding homes in Belito? I think they are.
Yes, yeah. No, their water meters are still outside the property.
And accessible. They're not locked off like an electrical supply. The water meter, generally is a little enclosure that you can lift the lid of quite easily.
Yeah, most of Caesar Water's boxes are white and blue, with a blue lid, white top
and it's
of it.
And it's not illegal to go and look at them. In fact, I think you are encouraged to.
100%. You look at it too. And also, I mean, I tell my clients that have got houses with aging infrastructure in them to, on a daily basis if they can, or once a week, at least go look at the water meter and make sure there's no water in being used in your house at that current time, to see whether you have a leak or not.
Yeah, makes sense. Very good advice from the plumbing boss, Barry Chapman. We have a regular weekly chat, and hopefully it helps you to not only understand the intricacies of the plumbing in your home, and if you have questions that you would like to ask, you're most welcome to drop us a line to info@lifeandstyle.org or co.za. Barry, we look forward to continuing the conversation because it's, I think, very valuable, saving you money, keeping you in the know, and keeping you probably prepared for the best and the worst scenario. We just like you to know so that you can choose.
100%. Happy to give all the information to make life a bit easier.
And as regular, that was the plumbing boss, Barry Chapman. Chapman Plumbing, they are the proud sponsors of our news roundup in the afternoon. And if you have a plumbing need, these are the guys to talk to.
Hi, I'm Kerry Miller, and recently my sh** hit the fan, so I called Barry at Chapman Plumbing. Are you tired of dealing with a naughty drain that just won't behave? Ugh, is your water meter running like it's training for the Comrades Marathon? Well, it's time to call in the experts, and the experts are Chapman Plumbing. They're your drain specialist, your geyser specialist, and of course, your leak specialist. From plumbing, planning, to installing, checkups, and repairs. So when you need a plumber fast, call Barry at Chapman Plumbing. He's got you covered.